Hey there, it's Dr. Heidi. You're listening to It's Not Normal, It's Toxic, a podcast geared towards the things you may be misunderstanding about the difficult relationships in your life. I did not understand it when I was in it, but I definitely understand it now, and I want to share that understanding with you so that you too can find the courage you didn't know you had to make the changes you didn't think you could make. Hey, y'all. So today, what I want to talk about is five mistakes, not that there's not more than that, that we make when we're trying to understand the confusion that goes with being in a toxic relationship. And, you know, being in a toxic relationship or any type of relationship that's not healthy for us is confusing enough without these five common mistakes made by those who are in these relationships trying to understand the other person in the relationship. We all have our own reasons for being in relationships that are unhealthy for us. You may have chosen to step into it through dating, cohabitating, or getting married. You may have been born into a dynamic where the unhealthy relationship was already present. You may have known them for years and they've become part of your life. You may have stepped into or found yourself in a work environment that's not ideal for you. But no matter how or why we got there, here we are. And now we have this daily confusion of trying to figure out what's going on, what we're supposed to do, and trying to understand it. Now, these types of relationships are already confusing. Why? Well, the number one reason for me was because it wasn't bad all of the time, right? If it was bad all of the time, it wouldn't have been a question. It wouldn't have been confusing. It would have been easier for me to leave, and it would have been easier for me not to question myself when leaving. But there's good days and there's bad days. Now, think about it. Are the good days really that good, or are the good days seeming good because they're so much better than the bad days? You know, we have memories that are fun. There are times that we laugh. There are times we enjoyed each other. So is it really bad all the time, or is this just normal? You know, they have said this is what they want, and they have said that they want that we were meant to be together and they want me in their life. So, you know, if they said it, it must be totally worth working on. And I certainly don't want to make a mistake and letting something go that I was supposed to have in my life. You'll tell yourself things like this. Well, they apologized last week, but I did see after they apologized that I was really the one that caused their behavior. So I can see now that I need to do better. Okay, that causes confusion. Or you think stuff like, okay, you know, last week I made him really happy. Now this week it isn't going so well, but that's okay because I can just go back to last week and I can just repeat what I did then. And that way next week will be better. So we're continually jumping through these hoops, trying to sort out the confusion. And these type of things, amongst other things, cause all of this uncertainty when you're asking yourself if a relationship is healthy or not. You know, you get into it thinking, of course it's healthy because I wouldn't step into one that's not healthy. And then when you get in there and you feel like something's wrong and you can't put your finger on it, the confusion starts. You know, most of us find ourselves in these type of relationships if we have very emotional personalities. You know, we do everything in our life out of emotion. Now, being emotional or having an emotional personality isn't a bad thing. It is how you were created. You know, we are the ones that in life were meant to be your healthcare providers, your service providers, anything that deals with people. You are more apt to find your emotionally wired person in those particular categories. So these type of relationships usually attract the emotionally wired personality. Because why? Because we fix and we support and we care and we like to keep the peace and we like to avoid conflict and we like to be the one that makes sure everybody in our life is going to be okay today. You know, at times, I remember this in my relationship also, you can look at the relationship and go, logically, I don't think this is the best relationship for me to be in. But because you're emotionally wired and you see everything through emotion, emotions get involved and it clouds our logic. And we start thinking, oh, but I've spent so much time here, or we've been friends for so long, and now we have kids and all our money's tied together. And, you know, we built a whole life, or think about the dreams we had. And that's all emotional based. And all of a sudden it clouds the logic of this relationship might not be healthy. And you've talked yourself and convinced yourself that it isn't that bad. And we've been making it this far and we can keep going. And thus creates more confusion. Now there's five common mistakes that the emotionally programmed personality is going to make when they're trying to decide if the relationship is healthy or not. Now, perhaps I should not call them mistakes. However, looking back on my experiences with toxic relationships, they were indeed mistakes. I didn't know then what I know now, and I didn't know they were mistakes. I didn't know that they would later be classified as mistakes, but all in all, they were indeed mistakes on my part. And you know what? I didn't make these mistakes once. I didn't make them twice. I made these mistakes over and over again and again, multiple times in toxic relationships. And I didn't even learn not to make these mistakes from one toxic relationship to the next. I carried the mistakes into the next relationship that wasn't healthy for me. And I just started making them again. Until one day I started realizing that what I was doing is that thing that they call insanity. I kept thinking, if I keep doing this, I'll get a different result. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over the exact same way and thinking something's going to change. I did that for years. I made these mistakes for years and years and years. Nothing changed. And I felt like I was insane. So that little line holds true. Mistake number one, we think that they have the ability to act like us. You know, we think that we are just having some disconnection. Okay, think about how many times in this relationship you haven't looked at them and thought, how come you can't just act normal? How come you can't just be nice? Okay, the reason we ask them how come they can't be normal or think, we don't always voice our opinion there, but when we see them acting or behaving in a certain way, which causes the confusion in the relationship, the reason it's so confusing is we would not act like that. Our emotionally wired personality doesn't usually intentionally say things to hurt people, criticize people to get an emotional reaction, you know, want to feel power over people. So when we look at them and think, how come you can't just act normal? We think that if we can just explain it, and if we can just tell them how they hurt me, and if we can just, you know, make them understand how I feel, and if I can just show them what I need, and if I can just figure out the right time and use the right tone of voice and pick the right day when they're in the right mood and choose my words perfectly and wear the right color shirt and have all the boxes checked, when I'm ready to talk to them about it for the 20th time, maybe tomorrow they're going to wake up and act like me. No, they are not. And we have to stop thinking that they're going to act like us because they are wired completely different than us. Our personality type and their personality type are not the same. They are never going to see the world through emotionally wired eyes. They are never going to be the ones compromising for the people in their life. They are never going to be the ones that are giving things up. They're never going to be the ones that are changing plans so everybody in their world is okay today. That's what you do. So you have to remember, when you're looking at them thinking, how come you can't just act normal? For their personality type, they're actually acting normal. Now, mistake number two, we believe the words that come out of their mouth. They said it, it must be true. You know, that's what got us here, was believing the words that came out of their mouth. Because in the beginning, you heard all the things they wanted you to hear. They wanted you to invest in the relationship. So there was promises and there was admirations and they were very accepting. And you remember those words. And why wouldn't we? Because we don't say the things that we don't mean. When we say something, we mean it. Now, a little caveat here is when we are in toxic relationships, to avoid conflict and keep the peace, a lot of times we don't say what we mean or we don't say anything at all. But in general, when you're outside of that relationship at work or with friends or wherever you're comfortable, the things you say are the things you mean. So we would never expect somebody else to say things they don't mean. So when they say it, we believe it. Now, when you call them out on it and you want to discuss or try to have a conversation, they're going to throw more words at you. Okay. They're going to get you to believe that they were sincere. And what happens again? We believe them because they said it. Now, why do we continue to believe them? Because we're always hanging on to hope. They said this, we hang on to hope, hoping that someday it's going to come fruition. Ask yourself, what is one of the oldest mantras ever? Actions speak louder than words. How many times in this relationship, if you would have gone off of that and followed the fact that the actions of this person are not supporting the words, if you could get yourself to do that, you would probably have changed the dynamic of this relationship a long time ago. But for some reason, we listen to the words and we allow the actions to happen. Now, the problem with listening to the words that come out of their mouth is we listen to all of them. We believe all of them. So we end up believing the words that are promises, and we end up believing the good words and we hang on to them. We believe the lies or the misconception when they're making promises and they're throwing out apologies and they're telling you how much they care. But we also tend to believe the lies of criticisms, of name callings, of put downs, about we can't do this. They instill self-doubt, and those words come out of their mouth too. And eventually we believe those as well. So because we're so believing and we have so much faith in other people, they fake us with the good words and we believe it, and they tell us lies and inaccurate things about ourselves and we believe it. And pretty soon, they're controlling the things that we believe by what they're saying. So stop being so quick to believe their words that come out of their mouths, because how many times has that let you down before? Mistake number three, we forget what happened in the past. We miss the cycle, and we miss it often for a very long time. Some of you have been in relationships for years and years. I was in the longest toxic relationship of my life for 14 years. And I can promise you, I missed the cycle. Now, why do we miss the cycle? Because all we pay attention to when we're in the relationship is what they say and do. You don't have time to pay attention to anything else. What they say and what they do is what gets you ready to be able to react and adapt and keep the peace and keep them happy and be good enough and do everything completely perfect. So you're constantly looking at, okay, if they say this, I'm going to do this. If they say that, I'm going to do that. If they do this, I'm going to do this. And so an example is you listen to how the door shuts when they come home, because you know the way the door is shut is going to set the tone for the whole evening. So you're already anticipating how you're going to have to behave, how you're going to have to act, how you're going to have to conduct yourself through the night in order to keep the peace. So we're constantly trying to stay one step ahead of them to keep ourselves safe. They call that living in survival mode. Now, we always have a plan A and a plan B for everything that might happen, that would happen, that could happen, that may never will happen, but we have the plan just in case it does, so that we're prepared. You're the peacekeeper. You are the one that spends your entire life within this relationship, keeping everybody happy. So if something bad happens, we think about it for a while and we may be upset and we may be frustrated. And then they got the reaction. You know, they're looking for an emotional reaction. You got upset, maybe you got sad, and there they got what they needed by the bad thing happening or their bad behavior. However, because the toxic personality is also very unpredictable and inconsistent, they may change their moods very quickly. They may go from acting like nothing happened to having a fight, to back to acting like the fight never happened. And in order for you to function in that, you have to keep up with it. If Tuesday was a really bad day and there was fighting and you were upset and you were crying and you were emotional and they wouldn't listen to you and you were feeling all alone because this day was just awfully emotionally bad and you didn't know what you were going to do, the next morning they get up, it's Wednesday morning and they're in a great mood. Okay, now your job is to get through Wednesday. So the last thing you're going to do is bring up the bad things that happened on Tuesday, ask for an explanation, ask for an apology, ask how you can do better. You're never going to bring that up because they're in a good mood today and today's Wednesday. And it's much easier for me to go through Wednesday if I don't bring up what happened on Tuesday. So everything from Tuesday gets shoved under the rug. We push it all under the rug and there is never any resolve. There's no closure to the argument. There's no compromise to the dispute. There is no negotiating to handle the next time any different because it was never addressed. It was just, I suffered through Tuesday and I cried and I was upset and oh, but now it's Wednesday and now I'm going to act happy. And we're going to pretend that we already handled everything on Tuesday. So when someone asks you, you know, well, what's so bad about the relationship? But you can't even think of anything bad. We have to force ourselves to really go, oh, well, I can't think of anything bad. And then we convince ourselves, well, maybe it's not so bad because when somebody asks me, I can't think of anything bad. That's because we have to put it away in order to survive the next thing. So in forgetting this, we oftentimes cannot see these behaviors are repetitive. We can't see them reoccurring because as they happen, you stick them under the rug and things that are, I mean, we have a lot of crap under our rug. When I do the podcast, we're putting a lot of stuff under the rug. But what I'm saying is something bad happens and then you have to change and adapt to keep conflict down and keep yourself safe. So it goes under the rug. You know, it goes under the rug and then it happens again. And what do? We're completely surprised that it happened again. It might happen a day later and we're surprised. It might happen a week later and we're surprised. Well, if we didn't forget everything so easily, we wouldn't be so surprised when it happened again. And you would be able to start going, oh, I feel like this happens a lot more than I thought. But when we're in survival mode and we're shoving everything away and not dealing with it and just, oh, made it through that day. It's very difficult to see the cycle unless you start tracking it, journaling it, and not putting it under the rug. Mistake number four, we hold on to the good. You know, you would think that this isn't a mistake because why wouldn't we hold on to the good? We need to remember that when they are being good, right? We hold on to the good because they're being good, but you have to realize that when they're being good, their intention is exactly the same as when they're being difficult. Again, but the good behavior and the happy days feel so much better than the bad days that we think it might be sincere and we think it might be meaningful. Control, power, attention, admiration are some of the things that a toxic person gets from the other people in their life, okay? They need that in order to feel secure in themselves. So if you are in the life of a toxic person, you are there because you're supplying them with one or more of those four things. They use you to make sure that they can feel secure. Now, they also are very emotionally abusive, meaning they want to use your emotions to get what they need. And we talked about that a little earlier. What they say and what they do causes an emotional reaction. You know, if they can make you happy, sad, upset, frustrated, guilty. So when they are being good, and I'm just saying being good, when they're being good, they are getting attention and admiration because they're being so nice. And you have an emotional reaction to that, like happy or relieved or calm, right? By being nice, they have caused those feelings in you. Thus, they are controlling how you feel by the way they are acting, right? So don't let it be a good day and a bad day. And today they're normal and today they're not, because the good days are intended for the same thing that they need as the bad days. So now when they are being bad, let's say they're picking a fight, for example, they feel power and they feel control because they always win the fight, correct? Then you ask yourself, where is your attention when there is a fight? Your attention, again, is on them. When they're being nice, your attention is on them because you're so excited they're nice. When they're being mean, your attention's on them because you're so upset that they're being mean. Now, that basically what we just said, when they're being bad, they pick a fight. That's a power. That's a control. That's an attention thing. You know, in turn, your reactions are sad, mad, or upset. Again, they are controlling your emotions by how they're treating you. So we hold on to the good because we feel like they're finally acting normal for a bit. No, they are not acting any more normal than they always are, but they are acting normal for themselves. They are seeking you to supply them with the things that they need so they feel good. You know, they switch between good and bad behavior to achieve the same exact result. So when we hang on to the good, it does us no good. When you realize that it's used to manipulate and control your feelings, all for the sense of security in themselves. Mistake number 5, we do not accept them for who they are. Now, my dad gave me the most powerful quote that I have ever heard and that I have repeated more often than any quote in my entire life. He said, "Heidi, you are never going to have inner peace until you accept people for who they are, not who you want them to be." You know, we keep wanting them to act like us, but because they are wired completely different than us, we have to quit expecting them to stop acting like themselves. If they were made this way and this is who they are, we have to stop expecting them to act different. Now, I understand that this is asking you to look at this from a completely different perspective. You know, we don't appreciate them asking us to change. I didn't appreciate being told that my former, after 3 weeks being married, was disappointed in himself because he always wanted to marry a blonde. So then the rest of my relationship, I'm trying to highlight my hair. Okay, that's asking me to change something about myself. I didn't like that. So if this is truly who they are and we keep asking them to change, is that really fair? I had to accept my former for who he was, not who I wanted him to be. And from there, I had to allow him to be himself, just not in my life. He is not allowed in my life at any level, because at any level, he is detrimental to me. And I now know that. But I know that he's going to continue the cycle with other relationships in his life. And I don't speak to him. I haven't spoken to him for a very long time, but I have heard, because there's a lot of people that like to tell me, every single relationship he has had follows the exact same cycle as the one I had, which just reaffirms to me, it wasn't me. It didn't have anything to do with me. I kept trying to get him to change and act more like me. And when I finally accepted that this is who he is and that this was not healthy for me, and it's time for me to get out and find myself again, that allowed me to allow him to go be himself wherever he wanted, just not in my life. So it's two personalities that have different goals and needs in the relationship. You know, it's the old square peg round hole thing. But like I said at the beginning, these relationships are very confusing. So again, these are mistakes that we make, but you won't realize it's a mistake because this is just how you've learned to handle things. And they all make sense when you're in it. And they all help you hang on to hope when you're in it. But when you accept them for who they are and you realize, how many times have I tried these 5 things and they've never worked? So dig some stuff up and out from underneath the rug in the next week. Try to piece together the cycle. Try to see that, oh, things have repeated. But when I stuff it away, next week when he does it again, or when she does it again, or when they're mean to me, ta-da, it's a brand new thing. And we're surprised. We keep being surprised when they keep being themselves. And when you start tracking and you start understanding that, you're not going to be surprised anymore. You're going to go, oh, well, that doesn't surprise me. I kind of expected that to happen. So start dragging that crap out that you've put away and see if it's been repetitive. It has happened over and over and over. You know, they are who they are, but you're the one that gets to decide who is healthy for you and who is not. And that is such a huge, powerful thing if you can accept it. This is your life. If this person doesn't fit, that's okay. there's other people that are going to have common goals and common needs. And you can have friendships and coworker situations and relationships with those people without you losing yourself. Now, these five mistakes, as I said, are not mistakes that you would consciously know you're making during toxic relationship, because toxic relationships and the pull into a toxic relationship is a slow drip and it happens over time. So you would never notice it. And until all of a sudden, there you are. So take these five mistakes and see if you've been making them. It's not your fault if you have. Believe me, it happens to the best of us. Now, why would I say it happens to the best of us? Because the toxic personality is always going to choose the kindest, the most caring, the best fixer, the best supporter, the one that's most willing to help, the one that wants to keep the peace, the one that wants to avoid conflict. And that's you.